Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm welcoming back Deacon David Carter. On the last show we talked a little bit about the black genocide that was initiated by Margaret Sanger and her organization Planned Parenthood. And I really am so glad to have you back again to recap a little bit for our audience who doesn't get the hour-long live show. And to, you know, further to discuss some of the some of your mission that you would like to begin and continue throughout Worcester and beyond. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a deacon.
Deacon at Mount Olive Pentecostal Church in Worcester. Father, husband, father of three.
Husband of one.
Husband of one. and staunch pro-life.
And you've always been pro-life.
Always
we discussed
been
that.
Pro-life, yeah.
And we discussed also in the past that it's really just a matter of either the child is human life or it isn't. And
right.
If it's human life, then we must protect it at all costs.
Right, which is our basic human rights. It's what our Declaration of Independence stated, that we have rights by God. And God gave us those certain rights, one of which was life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Life comes first because without life, all else is irrelevant.
Right.
So you have to value life.
And we know from the beginning that our founding fathers, you know, did that for a reason, like you said, and it is very important for the fabric of our community. And I guess over the last 40 years, we've really lost sight of that. And specifically in the black community, there's been just a horrendous, disproportionate amount of babies that are being killed.
Right. 33% of our population has been wiped out due to abortion. You have 15 million African-American babies since the institution of Roe versus Wade back in 1973, all aborted. You have 440,000 per year of the African-American community aborted.
That's a huge number.
It is. And we have people, we have the black community that will, if a black person is on death row and they'll claim their innocence, they've been sentenced by the jury, but they'll claim their innocence and the black community will come out in droves to try and protect that protect that person from getting capital punishment. But yet 15 million innocent babies got the death penalty
for no reason
except
and that they were
where is the outcry when we have all of those babies being aborted today? Where is the outcry? So you can never solve the social ills, the social injustice, without first finding out what the number one cause of that social justice is, and it's abortion.
How old were you when you realized the conspiracy, basically, of Margaret Sanger and her indoctrinating the black pastors into promoting abortion and contraception in their communities?
It was probably when I became old enough to vote, when I was 18, because then I started to do my homework and do my history, because I wanted to know what politicians to vote for. So that's when I started delving into, okay, the pro-life issue and then Planned Parenthood. Well, okay, how did Planned Parenthood come about? Well, Margaret Sanger. So I looked up Margaret Sanger, and sure, they said she was her heroine and for reproductive rights, but then I started to see some of her quotes. The black population are human weeds. We want the black community involved in this because we don't want them to know that I'm trying to exterminate the Negro population. So she used eugenics, forced sterilization to have population control to rid the black community, because she didn't want the black community was considered unfit, inferior to
her. In her mind, because she was a Nazi and eugenicist.
Yeah. Exactly. So what she did was she put these Planned Parenthood clinics in the inner cities with the help of the black community in the inner cities so that black women could have a way out, to her, have a way out by, well, your economic circumstances aren't good enough for you to have a child, so this is a way to end that so that you won't have to bring up a child. You won't have to take responsibility. And the black community bought into this, and here we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the stats. Here we are today, and unless somebody speaks out and says enough that this is wrong, no more taking human life, then it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. And so I know you try to preach this in your small community, and for the most part, people understand, being Christian, that they are personally pro-life, but what you're trying to do is get the message out that it's not good enough to just be personally pro-life.
Right. It's not good enough just to be pro-life in the background, because if you're just pro-life in private, then the message doesn't get out. Because what's happening is the political establishments, the Planned Parenthoods, the different ones that believe in the things that we don't believe in, the abortion and other issues, they're getting their message out. So our kids are only hearing that particular message. Oh, it's all right to get an abortion. Don't worry about it. That's not a baby. Don't worry about that. So they're getting the message out. They're hearing it in their schools. They're hearing it when they go to the clinics. They're hearing their economic circumstances. Oh, well, we'll solve your economic circumstances by, if you get rid of this baby, mm-hmm. your economic circumstances will
improve. You can't afford a baby.
Well, they don't hear another alternative. They don't hear the fact that maybe life can be better if you have the child. They don't hear the fact that that it's not necessarily that your economic circumstances are going to be that bad if you have a child. They don't hear that narrative. So my job is to try and promote this to get some of our black leaders to step up into the forefront and say that instead of looking at all of these other issues as the most important issues of the day, to try and pull abortion up to the forefront and say, this is something that we need to fight for. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for abortion to be on a mission statement. If I see abortion on a mission statement, then I know that things are getting better.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You never see that. You see social ills and social injustice, but what does that mean? Tell me what that means. Does it mean that you're talking about abortion in the black community, or does it mean you're just concerned about poverty?
Right.
You know,
right.
I want to see that issue brought to the forefront, and then when that issue is brought to the forefront, then there can be dialogue. Then we'll start to say that Planned Parenthood is a bad place to go. We want to promote problem pregnancy centers,
right,
and places where the woman can go and get truthful information, because the information you hear today isn't truthful.
Mm-hmm. And it gives them the choices, the real choices, either to place their baby for adoption or to carry their baby and parent.
Right.
And you run into that all the time, where a lot of the girls, they don't know that there really is an alternative. They're told that, well, you can't afford this baby.
Right.
You need to go to school. You can't have a child now. And that's really, what is that saying to the girl? It's like, well, geez, you wouldn't make a good parent because you just aren't fit, to be
right.
a parent at this time.
Exactly.
And the girls, some of them that come to us, they realize, this is the only obstacle. We can help you around that, we can help you get around that one little obstacle,
and have the services there and available, so that if when they do make that decision, that there's help. They feel like there's not enough help, but we also have to stress the importance that that unborn child have to be afforded the same rights as a toddler. Because if they don't believe that, then it's easy for them to make the wrong choice because they don't think that that's a life.
A human, yeah. Yeah, and that's true in all the mistakes that we've made in history, you know, dehumanizing people.
Exactly.
You know, we had slavery because we dehumanized a group of people. We had the Holocaust because we dehumanized a whole section of our society. You know, so it's not that we don't make mistakes. We just hope that we learn from the mistakes. And this has been a huge mistake, bigger than both of those horrible chapters in our history, because we've killed over 50 million children.
Right. So the question is, have we learned? But we haven't learned the same things that we fought against back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
In the early 1900s, that we fought for, the basic human right to freedom, the basic human right to life, is coming back full circle to us today. We're not fighting for that basic human right to life. And not to say in the background they don't, our Christian leaders don't talk about it, but talking about it in the background and not ever bringing it forefront will never translate into change. Because you have to bring that out into the forefront in order for it to translate into change. When you talk to our kids and you educate them the right way in the community, then what they'll see is, gee, I was never told there was an alternative. I was never told that I could have this child and still be able to go to school,
mm-hmm.
that I could have this child and still live a good life. I was never told that. So once you tell them the truth and then they realize they've been lied to, then when that change occurs, then it translates into these women actually voting the right way. All of this stuff, all of these changes will eventually make a change to where Planned Parenthood will have to try something else to get them in.
Live on their own,
you know,
their own means, not our $350 million dollars a year. So what are you looking for? Are you just looking for more leaders in the Black community to help you get this message out?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
And I know we've put up your email address, mm-hmm. and that would be a good way to reach you. And you, because you feel kind of lonely out there.
Oh yeah, I feel like especially in my area, that I feel like that I'm the only one that's pro-life and willing to speak about it. I feel like that all the leaders in the community are not willing to speak on it because they feel like that they're going to be shunned by the Democratic Party, which the Democratic Party is a big influence. But if not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to speak out on it? It's if it's your belief that life begins at conception, why would you support politicians that fund Planned Parenthood, which actually is the cause of the Black community being exterminated?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you support those causes?
Yeah. I mean, are they waiting for the end of poverty? Or the end of the war on poverty? You know, I mean, that war started what?
Well, I think
the
war on the child is...
I know.
The war on the child is more important. And so... that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Black leaders to say, you know, I'm willing to help to change. I'm willing to say enough to Planned Parenthood. I'm willing to say, well, if you're not gonna stand for pro-life, then I'm gonna vote you out of office. We're willing to do something to where we're gonna make a stand. And unless enough, because we talked about this, that is, if the Black community got together and took a stand, this would end. Maybe even the Democratic Party would maybe even change their own legislation,
mm-hmm.
or change their own
stance.
They would maybe even decide to, okay, man, something's wrong with this. I think this is a serious issue because we got all of the Black community now and they're going against us. But unless they do, the Democratic Party is going to say, well, we got enough of the black community here that we don't need to make a change. Maybe we're doing something right. Maybe that reproductive rights that Planned Parenthood preaches, that Margaret Sanger
is holding you in line.
Is holding you in line. So the question is the black community going to speak out? Are they going to make a stand and say, enough, we've seen the statistics, and we need to make a change?
Well, it sure make our lives easier. You know,
sure,
if the Democrats and the Republicans were pro-life, it would make our lives easier,
wouldn't it? It would be great.
We would vote for anyone.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We really make choices.
Exactly. But that issue has to be in the forefront. You can't say the economy is the number one issue, or the war is the number one issue. Well, if you look at the statistics, what's more important? Look at all the lives that have been lost.
Yeah, we often say, you know, if you count all the casualties of all the wars in our country's history, you still don't even come close to all the lives we kill every year in the United States.
Right.
Through abortion.
Exactly.
It's so sad. And so anybody can get a hold of you through your email address.
Sure.
And try to get a dialogue going and try to a support group.
a support group or somebody to say that we're willing to address these issues in the community, in the black community, in the churches. That's where it starts.
That's where it started to begin with.
Right. It started in a bad way in the church, and it can end in a good way in the church.
Absolutely.
Because if you get dialogue in the churches, and you get churches to the members of the churches, teenagers in the churches, to see something different, because they don't.
Yeah.
They're seeing a negative message, and they're in the church. There's no reason why teenagers in churches should be willing to end a life.
Mm. I mean, they know when you're lying to them. You know,
right.
I mean, God's law is written in your heart.
Right.
And the kids know. And we wonder why, you know, kids are pulling away from the churches, you know, or
right.
pulling, you know, if they're starving for the truth.
Right.
And if we would just feed it to them, they would just eat it up like crazy. If you to the March for Life, it's all kids. You know, you can tell. I mean, it's a message that brings joy, and they're just filled with the Holy Spirit when they're there. I mean, it's amazing to see the kids there. And you said the churches are where they're going to effect this change.
Right, that's where it starts. It starts in the churches. And you teach those kids the truth, tell them the truth. But it's hard to tell them the truth when you yourself are living a lie.
True.
you can't tell them the truth if you yourself are supporting the wrong policies or supporting the wrong people that support those policies. So it starts with you making the change, and then you promoting that into your church.
But I can imagine, like, especially with the last election cycle, it was really difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I think you had mentioned before that you had been making progress when George Bush ran the second time.
Yes. Yep.
And you were able to convince some people, you know, to defect from the Democratic Party
right.
and vote pro-life.
Exactly.
But it was a little more difficult in 2010 or 2008.
Right. It was very difficult because you see the first black president, and you as a black person can make history.
Right.
You tend not to look at the overall issues, so you tend to look at, you know, what is his message. He's articulate, he's promoting change, he's
good family man.
Right, good family man. He's saying he's gonna help the inner cities, you know, all of these things he promoted. Well, that's what drove the black population. That's why he got 96% of the black communities vote, because he gave them a sense of He's with us.
Right, pride.
Right, yeah. He's with us.
Yeah, but that's understandable.
It is. It's understandable. But by the same token, he wasn't for us.
Right.
In terms of what our Christian and moral values were, he wasn't for us. He was, because he's basically the spokesperson for Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
That's an issue that, a non-negotiable issue that the black community should have came out against him on that. No one questioned it.
Mm-hmm.
No one questioned why he supported infanticide in Illinois.
But it would be so amazing if the black community could do that with this president. You know, I mean, they could use their influence on this president and change the Democratic Party.
Right.
Really,
they have the power to do
it. But he, like you said, he is so pro-abortion. He couldn't even bring himself to vote for the anti-infanticide
right.
laws, you know.
He wouldn't. So he blocked it. It's
just continually. And it's,
and it's the excuse that he gave that was even more astounding, to say that because if you called the unborn child a child, you would have to give it health care. And that would thwart the will of the mother who wanted to abort the child. So the pro-life people would use it as grounds to overturn Roe versus Wade. So he used that, astounding, to say that we can't give this child that survived.
Right.
Survived an abortion. We can't give it health care because the mother's will was to abort it.
And her rights are more important than the child's life. Right to
life.
Right,
exactly. It's tough to swallow, but once again, unless people hear that message, because that message didn't get out.
Right.
A lot of these things, a lot of these issues, because the media controls what you see. So if these issues don't get out, or if you're not willing to do a little homework
mm-hmm.
to get those issues, because the issues are out there. All of these things are out there, but the question is, are you willing to look for the truth?
Right.
You know, because that's all it is. It's just the truth about one particular issue versus another.
I mean, it is important, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, says voting is a right, but it really is a privilege, and it's something that you really need to take seriously. And so many people, you know, just go out and it's like, oh, I'll vote for this person because, you know, I like his name, or I vote for this person because it's a woman, or, you know, like, just
right.
stupid, frivolous things that, you know, your votes matter.
Right, your votes count.
You know, no matter what the position, it's really important that you do your research.
Especially when it comes to developing a moral fabric to
right.
our country. Because how does our country become so bad? It becomes so bad because we vote in politicians that change legislation. How do you think some of these laws that we're against come into power? Through the courts. How are the courts able to usurp their judgment on us unless they have those type of judges that are willing to just make
right.
the law up opposed to following the Constitution.
Right. And appointed by the elected officials
exactly.
who you elected, knowing full well, you didn't know, but you should have known full
right.
well that that's what they were trying to do, is affect the change through the courts.
Exactly. And then the black leaders, we have specific conservative leaders that if you just listen to their message, that you would change. Like
yeah.
Alveda King, you have Star Parker, who the author of the book Uncle Sam's Plantation, specifically talks about how the government can control you to the point where you feel like you're on a plantation, and trying to get off of that plantation, you have to change. If you go against their principles, they'll take you off of that plantation. It's an entitlement mentality because she's lived it. Mm-hmm. She's had the abortions. They told her, don't worry about it. Go on welfare. We'll take care of you. You mean you're going to send me a check? Sure, we'll send you a check. We'll take care of you. But she was living in poverty. And then she met a minister who changed her life and told her, you don't have to be this way. Abortion is wrong. So it changed her life to the point where she weeded herself off the government, and she's a spokesperson now for conservative principles.
Wow. Wow. And you say she's an entrepreneur, too.
She's an entrepreneur, yeah.
I mean, I think that's the American dream, you know, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps,
exactly.
Going forward. And
right,
and,
a hand up, not a
yeah,
hand out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes on. J.C. Watts, he's another one that
Watts,
comes to mind.
Yeah.
And Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes,
I love
yeah.
him. I even voted for him in 2000, primaries.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, but you just don't hear from them that often.
Well, what it is you hear, you know of them, but when their names are mentioned, they're only mentioned in the context that they're a sellout, or they're an Uncle Tom. Condoleezza Rice, can you imagine Condoleezza
wow.
Rice is being told she's a sellout just because she, I mean, here's a, in the biggest cabinet, you know.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
was Secretary of State, National,
self-made woman,
National
sure.
Security Advisor, I mean. Look at Colin Powell.
Yeah.
You know, people like that. They were called sellouts because
Clarence Thomas.
Right, Clarence Thomas, another one. You know. So it's not that they're not out there. It's just that the black community is so aligned with the Democratic Party that they don't look at those individuals, probably including myself, as being
successful.
successful or being what they call authentically black, probably. Like when Miguel Estrada was trying to become a judge, and President Bush appointed Miguel Estrada to the bench because he had Christian principles, pro-life.
Right.
He wasn't considered Hispanic enough.
Right, right.
So he couldn't get nominated. He couldn't
but
get through the
really
nomination
short
process.
Changing people thinking, saying that, okay, you really don't have a right to your own opinions, that you have to think this way. I mean, that's just
yeah.
nuts. I mean,
right.
that goes against everything that's American.
Well, you have an opinion as long as you agree with theirs, then you're fine. But it's when you disagree, then you're somehow beneath them, you know, and that's what needs to change.
Right, right.
The truth should be, you would think that when people see the truth that they would automatically change, but that's just not the case.
Yeah. So this is so interesting, and I hope you can come back again, because I just, you know, I'm going to see if our show helps you to affect some change in your community, mm-hmm. And see if we can't... you know, just turn people on, get them thinking, get the dialogue started. I know they can go to American Life League, ALL.org. They can go mm-hmm. to Human Life International, right. HLI.org, and focus on the family.
Focus on
and
the
get
family.
Some more information about the black genocide. Or you can Google black genocide
right.
and get some more information.
And don't just go to your particular liberal outlets.
Right.
Because, I mean... if you look at like CSNBC, all of these different channels and different media outlets, they're only going to tell you one message. So I always promote conservative talk stations,
yeah.
Conservative Christian stations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for joining us. Again, go to those websites, talk to your family and friends about black genocide. Educate yourself and everybody around you, and hopefully we can end just all infanticide in the United States. And we hope that you look in the mirror the next time and realize yours, too, is the face of pro-life. Please join us again next time.